Hello, everyone. I'm George from Ireland. Well, commenting on Robert Jenrick's asinine remarks at the Conservative and Unionist Party conference in Manchester. So, remember, Mr. Jenrick, a year ago, he was seeking the leadership of the party and he was a close runner-up to Mrs. Badenoch, so the current leader of the party. And he is plotting, and letters have gone in to the chairman of the 1922 committee. When it gets to a certain threshold, is it 15% of all MPs, that could trigger a leadership contest. Remember, Kemi Badenoch is safe until the first anniversary of election, which is the 3rd of November, if memory serves. People say that would be premature. Jenrick, say what you like about him, and uptight, vicious, charmless, detestable would be apposite, but he's not thick. The idea is he bide his time until the May local elections. Very bad results for the Conservative Party then, presumably, in which case then he'd move in for the kill. Might be foolish, actually, because it's a poison chalice to be leader at the moment. But back to what he said at the conference, talking about Handsworth, so an area of Birmingham, says one of the worst integrated places he's ever visited. Now, I've never been there myself. But it was during a dinner. It was a private dinner for Conservative Party members. It was recorded. He said he had not seen another white face. Now, the implication being, what, well, and that's a bad thing, almost as though non-whites are not British, the non-white people don't have the right to live in the United Kingdom. Has he heard of Kemi Badenoch? Okay, non-white people are an essential part of British society. They occupy all sorts of high offices. Non-whites have as much right to be in the United Kingdom as white people. There are plenty of non-white Britons. There are plenty of white non-Britons who are in the UK. And so it's preposterous. So if you just moved in from wherever, Latvia, or you're white South African, for example, arrive in the UK today, you're not British, but you could be a fourth generation black British person, a fifth generation British Indian person. I know that's unusual, and so forth. So this is really preposterous and distasteful, and many people saying it's a dog whistle. Okay, so a lot of people have argued back about that. So he's obviously played into the hands of the West Midlands mayor, who's Labour. Richard Parkinson says that he is reducing people to the colour of their skin and that it's racialist and so forth. Remember, Birmingham is the place where Enoch Powell made his notorious Rivers of Blood oration in March 1968, and so forth. Okay. Wow. So he says that people should live alongside each other, not parallel lives. All right, but if people want to congregate wherever because this is where their place of worship is, the butcher's shop or whatever shops that serve, the cuisine they want to eat, and there's a school which might cater to people of particular religious denomination and language and so forth, is not bad. People do that. And when people arrive in a country, they often seek members of their own community and only later deeply integrate and fan out. But, assimilation shouldn't be compulsory. Singapore does this, I believe, saying, we're 80% ethnically Chinese, therefore each building's got at least 60% ethnically Chinese, because we can't have the ethnic minority groups, the Malays or the Indians, ghettoising, something like that. So, okay, Jenrick's remarks were not as bad as some people choose to represent. So he wants an integrated society. Wow. Okay. So I don't know how he proposes to do this without taking people away their rights. But even if you concur with what Jenrick said, there's a problem of tone. It was clumsily expressed, to say the very least. Wow. Now that Claire Coutinho, who's a Conservative Shadow Energy Secretary, she's British Indian, and she said we're a white majority country. Well, that's factual, no question about that. And she's saying if you don't see any whites, it's integration has failed. But that could be the fault of the whites as well as the non-whites, and so on. Now, the former mayor of the West Midlands, Andy Street, and it was his area that Mr. Jenner was talking about, said that what he said was wrong. Handsworth is very integrated. Of course, Andy Street would know far more about it than Robert Jenner, who's not from the West Midlands. And the Bishop of Birmingham saying that this is divisive language and he's denounced the toxicity of it and so on. Wow. So there we go on. He's a really nasty piece of work, Robert Jenrick. But unfortunately, there's a considerable chance that he will be leader of the Conservative Party. And he is viciously anti-Palestinian. He never heard about an atrocity in Gaza that he didn't like. It's really just sickening. A lot of people going, well, with yellow ribbons, free the hostages. Fine, I want to free the hostages. Now, would that be the thousands of Palestinians held hostage in Israel that the Israeli Supreme Court says are being deliberately malnourished have often been tortured. Over 400 of whom are children. Some of these people have been held for over 20 years. Is it them, or is it the roughly 26 Israelis are held by Hamas, most of whom are soldiers? And Hamas saying, well, they're prisoners of war rather than hostages. Goodness. So isn't it astonishing the way there's actually no sympathy, no compassion, no human decency whatsoever when it's Palestinian suffering, but when it's Israeli suffering, yes, spoken about with great pathos. And I don't want either side to suffer. But there we are. So, Jenrick, not pleasant, not good news. And then he's attacked the activist judges. Now, are the judges really activists? I don't know. Maybe. Okay, so there have been some judicial rulings with which he does not concur. I mean, I don't agree with them either. But okay, he's a solicitor and I'm not a lawyer of any kind. But even if you are, I mean, you might agree with the judge, you might not. Hopefully the learned judges will know more than the average person. And then you'd have to read their ratio decidendi. These things are very long, couch very abstruse language. There's a certain lucidity to them as well, because they're, you know, excellent grammarians and all the rest of it. But very tedious what their reasoning is. I mean, ideally, it wouldn't be political reasoning, even if the actuation is political. They won't say that. They're not that dumb. But we're always told the judiciary is independent and da-da-da-da and neutral. But how do we know that? I mean, but he wanted to be less independent, judges to be dismissed, as in if they make rulings which are inconvenient for politicians. So now he does have a point, though, when some judges are connected to pro-migrant charities, which are clearly is going to discredit them. So the public are going to have less trust in the judges, saying, you're on one side of this debate. We can't do this because we must avoid not just bias, but any suspicion thereof. Okay, because it could be an interference. And he says the judges blur the line between adjudication and activism, and possibly that's true. A call to mind Lord Hewitt's dictum of 1928, which I so often repeat. He was a judge in those days. They were in the House of Lords. Justice must not only be done, it must manifestly and indubitably be seen to be done. So because even if the judge is ruling in a dispassionate fashion, he or she is not swayed by any outside considerations as his or her political preferences. If there's the appearance that he or she is moved by that, then that's a problem. Supposing a judge is a patron of whatever migrant charity, has to hear a case pertinent to migration, and he or she puts all that out of his or her mind and simply considers the law about this, reasons on that basis, rather than being moved by for sympathy for this cause or that. Nevertheless, there'll be the suspicion that he or she was in fact motivated by a desire to advance whatever cause. And so even that a suspicion is unfounded, is mistaken, that you mustn't allow a judge to hear such a case. He or she should recuse himself or herself, and so on. But it seems to be a swipe at the judiciary and so on. All right. So Jenrick was also attacking Sir Keir Starmer's invertebrate stance, his feebleness. Okay. And anyway, he said that the dozens of judges have broadcast their open borders views on social medias. Is that true? He didn't cite any examples, and there are really dozens. So that's not very credible, and so on. Okay, right, everybody, thank you so much for listening to me. I'll end now. Toodaloo.